At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, ARMY and fellow music fans. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Peachy, can you hear me?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. You're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. Those always help out so much. We've had some great guests here lately. DJ Shadow, the Black Eyed Peas, Genndy Tartakovsky, legendary animator behind Samurai Jack, Dexter's Laboratory, Star Wars, Clone Wars, Hotel Transylvania, etc. We talk with the cast of Alien Earth on FX, including Timothy Oliphant, Sydney Chandler, showrunner and creator Noah Hawley. Let's see, who else? They Might Be Giants dropped by. Lucy Annie Buchanan, you know her from The Night Agent on Netflix. She's also starring in Chief of War with Jason Momoa on Apple TV+. Had that cast of Happy Gilmore 2, as well as the director Kyle Newacek, Michael Clifford from 5 Seconds of Summer, Ben Folds, Caroline Polachek, cast of Zombie 4, Wet Leg, Allison Goldfrapp. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I am so excited to be saying this. My guests are Mark Mothersbaugh and Gerald Casale, the founding weird scientists behind Devo. It's the Ohio-born art rock band that turned de-evolution theory into a career. Somehow, it got on MTV. Casale, a visual artist and bassist. He brought the biting political satire. Mark Mothersbaugh, the bespectacled keyboardist, supplied the hooks and the unshakable sense that you might be listening to a children's show from a dystopian future. Together, they built a catalog of jerky rhythms, of mutant pop, and matching hazmat suits, influencing everyone from the Talking Heads to Daft Punk. And when they weren't deconstructing pop culture on stage, Mark Mothersbaugh scored everything from Pee-wee's Playhouse to the Royal Tenenbaums, and Jerry directed music videos for fellow new wave acts as well as folks like Foo Fighters. In short, two guys who proved you can dance and panic at the same time. And they are dropping in here to talk about the new Netflix documentary chronicling the band's 50-year history. In fact, the two are going to discuss why it took so long for a Devo doc to happen, the challenge of condensing their complex story into 90 minutes, and the long career of having to constantly explain the ideas behind their art. We'll revisit the Kent State shootings that influenced their formation, They'll share memories of meeting Neil Young years after the song Ohio was written, and talk about how their sound was inspired by European futurists and the industrial culture of the 1970s. Mark and Jerry also going to dive into the upcoming Cosmic De-Evolution Tour with the B-52s. We'll talk about the meaning behind Farewell Maybe, as they're saying on this tour, and why that reunion record, Something for Everybody, deserves a whole lot more love. All that and more as we talk about the Devo documentary on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Mark Mothersbaugh and Gerald Casale of Devo.
Hello.
Hello there.
It's great to have you both on here. There's a lot happening in the Devo world once again.
Yeah.
You've got a new documentary. Well, I should also say you're also going on tour with B-52s, and we're going to talk about that later on. But this new documentary that just arrives on Netflix.
Right.
And first, congratulations. This is such a great watch.
You watched?
I've watched all of it.
Okay.
And then I've gone back and referenced little parts of it as well. So
you made it through. Oh, good.
This feels like it's been a long time coming. Mark, why is it taking so long to get a Devo documentary?
Oh, I don't know. We just, we never entertained it even. We were never thinking about it. We were just always moving forward in life. And then one day somebody brought it up and we mistakenly got involved and then moved on to a couple different versions of it, and here we are with Chris Smith.
Jerry, I was looking back, I mean, because I think you've been talking about other things for a long time, like going back and referencing The Beginning Was the End, the biopic, and even the Broadway thing.
Yeah.
It's like, is that all the road to this, or are those, you know, do those live separately, I guess?
Yeah, I can only speak for myself, but there are, you know, what you see is the tip of the iceberg. There were so many things that I kind of was passionate about making happen, and they didn't happen. And, you know, this is better late than never. It's a long and winding road. And, yeah, you're trying to distill a complex artistic experience of 50 years into a 90-minute film. So you're really, you know, what is a documentary? It's a document of what the director decides is the focus of what he is interested in. You know, it's not the ultimate truth. It's just some version of information or truth.
Would it be fair to say then that the lens that we see here, I mean, there's that line that Devo is the most misunderstood band in like history. Like that seems to be the version that we get of what we're seeing here.
Not the worst version, but you know, it's always that way. It's like everybody sees something different, which is kind of both good and also gives both Jerry and I have different reasons to go, oh, I wish that was different. But you know, it's always interesting to see someone else's outside view rather than, we're both deeply subjective. So we do have things that we're passionate about.
But to go with that, with what we got, and I love this story, by the way, because you know, I've always known what Devo was about. I mean, you guys have been talking about that for 50 years, you know, how it starts as an art project and then de-evolution, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But, you know, to have a career basically of explaining yourselves, which I think is also what we see here. It's like, it feels like it would be mind-numbing to be on your end and just time after time after time is like, this is what we were about, because you've also got catchy songs, but there was the whole thing that was a part of it.
Well, yeah, we were always trying to explain the substance and, you know, inspiration behind that body of work. And I don't think people were very interested in that. And they rarely printed what we said. And I can understand that. People, you know, people
don't. It's not traditional. Yeah, that's not traditional in rock and roll. It's like rock and roll has two or three very basic dumb ideas. And then people just, you know, default to that. So they weren't all that. He's absolutely correct. People did not want to talk about what we wanted to talk about all the time.
They just like, tell us about the drugs, tell us about the sex. Let's be honest here. Yeah.
I don't remember that part about the documentary at all either.
Well, it was Exide.
That's another version.
It's the sequel. I want that.
Somebody else's documentary of Devo.
This is the, Mr. Rogers friendly neighborhood version.
When we get though at the beginning of Kent State and how that influenced you, especially Jerry, and going from what you were saying is being a hippie
Yeah.
to eventually becoming, and I'm using the broad thing here of like post-punk, et cetera, et cetera. I was thinking about, I was talking with Kim Gordon once, Sonic Youth,
Right.
and she was saying, when I go home, I don't listen to no wave. I don't listen to noise rock. I listen to Fleetwood Mac. And I was thinking about that as I was watching this because hearing you, and knowing like being into Hendrix and things like that. I mean, how that, because that's the part, again, when we're talking about what the director wants to show, it's not exactly explained. Like, how do you go from the hippie rock of the 60s to finding this post-punk sound, especially when you and several other bands at the of the era were creating something that all ended up being something kind of in this umbrella of post-punk?
The sound was really important to me. It was like I felt like I wanted to be a pioneer. I wanted to create a sound for the 70s at the time is what I was thinking. I was thinking as much as like Jimi Hendrix and Captain Beefheart were the sound of the 60s. I thought I wanted to have something that related to our time. Jerry and I were both really influenced by all of the art movements in the 20s and 30s in Europe, and people like the futurists had already were already making proclamations that the modern orchestra does not include instruments that can define or illuminate our society, our culture, our industrial culture, and we were kind of feeling that way with what was happening on TV and what was, we were watching Vietnam on TV mixed in with Anison and Bufferin commercials. And we were, I was, Jerry and I both had different things that we did for Devo, but for me, sound was really important. And it was, I was really looking for a way to create something new in the sound world. Jerry was kind of equally interested in video and film at the time, and he pushed us into making these short movies that we were making back before there was an MTV, and that was great.
Yeah, we basically, every artist has to start off with influences and things that they revere, and then they have to move on and find out who they are. So you have your influences, and you have your artistic gods, and then you have to realize that now it's up to you to be them, not imitate them.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ziprecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ziprecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ziprecruiter.com/zip.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith talking with Mark and Jerry of Devo.
And then in those crazy moments that we see in this film of you meeting those people.
Yeah.
Bowie, of course, always keep him over my shoulder right there.
Neil Young.
Right. Yeah. How was, I'm sure this is talked about in the past at some point, but you do meet Neil Young, and knowing that you were at Kent State and everything, like before you met him,
right.
Like, did that song do, I'm talking about Ohio, obviously, like, did it do the justice of the moments?
You know, it wasn't bad. What was really exciting to me and powerful was how quickly back then, with the way the record business worked and pressing vinyl, how quickly that song was out there in the world and on the airwaves. That's like a digital era story, right? They talk about how quickly things can happen now. They don't happen any more quickly than that.
Right.
And that was 1970.
In the U.S., because the U.S., like our music industry was like a big, stupid, lumbering giant. Where, as opposed in Europe, you know, they had these smaller labels. They had a situation where people did cut a song on Friday and then you'd hear it on the radio on Monday. But in the U.S., that was never the case. And so, yeah, hearing it that quick of a turnaround was kind of impressive.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was only because of the status of Neil Young at that moment in history.
Like, if you're going to put out that song, we've got to do this now.
Yeah.
I'll speak to that moment. And what a great moment that was.
Yeah.
And just knowing that that's, you know, not specifically that song, but, you know, that it's all a part of your story. That it's so wild, right? When you get to tell these, especially a 50-year story of a band like you all, to be able to look at it in this hour and a half package, it's crazy how many things just play into each other that, you know, that made the thing that led to the next thing.
We never thought we'd be meeting Neil Young. So like 7 years after that song, we're jamming with Neil Young. And nobody would have believed that, including myself, if somebody had said, here's what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at it and it's amazing that we were in a recording studio up in San Francisco and everybody had on these Never Mind the Bollocks shirt that we'd gotten from the Sex Pistols like the week before or something like that. He was jamming with Devo. It was kind of wild. Boogie Boy was in a playpen playing a synth and singing some song that I don't think he'd even put out yet. But then he's like crunching Boogie Boy's, he smashed Boogie Boy's playpen with his guitar. He kept falling on top of Boogie Boy on purpose. It was kind of
punk,
kind of non what you would think of for Neil Young. And that was impressive. That kind of really changed my opinion about him. Cause I kind of, you know, I wasn't into the Laurel Canyon, granola.
Yeah. We kind of made fun of that stuff. And there he was, grandfather of granola rock, completely in the moment and punk.
Yeah. And then we paid attention to his films, which I'd never, you know, had a chance to see before. And I realized he had this very kind of avant-garde, interesting, it was like Robert Downey Sr. kind of style of filmmaking that was kind of cool in a way.
And then you can see the point in his career where you all became his influence, you know, in those.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. The other, and I'll wrap around back to the present here too, because I mentioned you guys were going to be touring with B-52s, who of course comes out of this same scene. And first off, the idea of this tour, thank God it happened. I mean, I was reading about how, you know, meeting up at SNL 50 and all of that stuff, but the cosmic de-evolution, which is a good phrase to put on a tour. Do you like, can it mean something? I want it to mean something in the way that Devo actually means something, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's putting a sugar coating on de-evolution so that de-evolution isn't depressing.
Yeah, it gives it a tasty, optimistic side, which is kind of good for us, too, because beyond, you know, spending 50 years telling people, you know, sounding like we were just, you know, like crabby and cynical, you know, it's like there is this other side of Devo that is about positive mutation. And it's about, you know, like don't just, you know, like stagnate, move forward in a positive way in a new time where it really needs it.
Does Lena Lovitch fit into that philosophy?
I don't know. I saw her once at the Whiskey A Go-Go in the 80s, and she has an amazing voice. And you know, I think it fits on in the sense of like what Jerry was saying about it being kind of like putting the, you know, from our viewpoint, it's putting the candy coating and you know inflating some helium balloons and stuff. For a dour, you know, de-evolution is real, you know, kind of thing. And for them, it's like it's adding art.
You got to make the medicine taste good.
I think we complement each other just fine. I think there's not a, I don't think it's a bad combination. I think it's complementary.
It's a dream bill. Especially for fans of that music. And that's, you know, I don't know, like pre-internet days, et cetera, especially when we're looking back then, you know, when I don't know, how did it feel? I don't want to put words in your mouth. I would have expected it would have felt like, I don't know, an oasis, not the band, but an oasis to find another band that sort of subscribed to a similar version of weird that you all did when we talk about mainstream culture.
Yeah, I mean, people decided B-52s were weird, but I'm sure they don't even think they were weird. They were just following a particular vision they had, and they remained true to it, and they did a really good job of it. So that's the similarity with Devo. We each have a thing that we do that's as unique as each other, and we are two people from an era where we're the only bands left that could still get up on stage and do it.
And both calling it farewell, ... maybe?
Maybe. Takes a long time to say goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, we're in an age group where you could say goodbye at any moment. So we can say farewell if we want, or we can say welfare, or we can say, yeah, next year we got even better ideas. So we'll see what happens.
Fairly well.
Listen, there's been a lot of bands that's laid the groundwork where farewell, goodbye can still mean 40 years in itself. So
look at it this way. We have only played about 28% of the markets that want Devo. So it'll take a long time to say goodbye.
If we say goodbye to everybody, yeah.
Thank goodness for us that there's a lot of people out there.
And then by the time we're getting to the very end of it, then there'll be colonies on Mars that we'll have to go up and visit, and, you know, it'll start all over again. So,
and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith talking with Mark and Jerry of Devo. And you know, going back to what we were saying at the beginning about it being one person's kind of lens to the story they wanted to tell, because we start seeing the stuff that wasn't told, right? I loved the reunion record, Something for Everybody. We played Fresh a ton here at WFBK, you know, stuff that, you know, Smooth Noodle Maps and all that, which I think is a fantastic record. Like, there were parts that I would have went, I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah, I like Something for Everybody. I really do. I think there are at least four songs on there that are as strong as songs from Freedom of Choice and Oh No, It's Devo. You know, it's just, it didn't matter at that point because the record company failed to bring it to market because they have no juice anymore. I remember we went to their rep at Warner's who said, hey guys, would it be okay if I went to radio and presented and pushed for No Place Like Home? And we're, we were just kind of crestfallen, like he's asking us if that would be all right.
And
Like,
that's wouldn't that
why wouldn't it be all right? Yeah, that's your job, please.
No, I think you should hide it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but also it was different. It's like when the first time we went over to Warner Brothers in 78, it was like this vibrant and everything was happening in that building. And every Friday at noon, they stopped work and they threw a party in the center opening area and had a lunch party that what lasted for the rest of the day. And when we went in there for the last time we were there with this album, it's like some of the big marketing rooms had like My Chemical Romance t-shirts, you know, that the merchandise people had left sitting there till My Chemical Romance went back out on tour, and there were just empty rooms, and it was like the last bastion of people that, you know, loved music so much that they were still willing to like work at a record company at that point in time. It was like a lot of people that had, you know, like sad, you know, like memories of, you know, romantic memories of what it was like in the 70s and 80s and 90s when record stores still existed. It was different to go back. Yeah.
I love that common area at Warner's outside. That patio is that whole
Yeah.
building was legendary. And now nobody works at the record labels anymore. So that's what we have. We
Yeah.
don't have radio teams. So off track. Let me compliment you guys one more time. The new documentary is fantastic. It's so great to see this story being told in the way it has. It's on Netflix, and everybody should watch it a dozen times, if not more. And I can't wait to see this tour with you all in the B-52s. And I cannot tell you what an honor it is to get to talk to you both. So, Jerry, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time today.
You're
Yeah,
too
thanks for
kind.
having us on.
My thanks to Mark Gerald Devo, the documentary out now on Netflix. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out, just like this one. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence. YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from the DBs, XTC, Suzanne Vega, Jeff Tweedy, Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin, Radiohead, Dragonettes, Paul Simon, The Who, and my interviews with Kristen Hirsch of Throwing Muses, David Yao of The Jesus Lizard, and a retrospective looking back at my interviews with David Crosby. That's what you can hear weeknights when you tune in starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Consequence.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.